Elliot Miller helping to clean up on that too. Twin packages both sides. DeJoy on the left. They're going to the left again. There's VZ. And he's going to get first yard down yardage and then some all the way to the Pio 17. So quick passes there from Bardwaj. Seem to be working out into the flat here with some blocking coverage from the
other
receivers.
They really are. They figured out a formula to sustain a drive here.
So twin pack, but can they get it in the cup? That's the big thing, Johnny. Twin packages both sides. DeJoya on Bardwaj's left. Fakes it to DeJoya. Now he's rolling out right.
Oh,
he's definitely
holding.
Getting held. There's a hole. Oh, my gosh.
There it is.
So this one will be thrown away. It won't count if he catches it.
Boy, that was a blatant holding there.
The Drake back there in the coverage. So even if there wasn't a hold. But I think Bardwaj saw the flat. Even he knew it. And that was Elios Martinez being held by a big young lad from Augie. First time calling his numbers. And I'm not. I just want to see how big he is. Kane Johnson, 6'4", 300 pounds from Galesburg. Home of, do you know what college is in Galesburg?
No.
Gainesburg, Illinois. Knox College, where Professor Aaron Schaefer went.
How would you know that?
It's one of those pretentious liberal arts schools. And twin packages both sides, and their students act like they're going to Choate Rosemary or something like that. Empty backfield here. And he's looking to his left. He's going to the end zone. DeVessi!
He caught it.
Does he have it?
It's a touchdown and a flag.
Touchdown and a flag, yep. Well, and there's a real mismatch because they had Damon Loker covering that, the linebacker. And Vesey, this time after dropping an open pass, catches it.
And that squares things up pretty much.
Vesey's certainly forgiven for that one drop now. So, Sidney Maroon in for the extra point. That'll make it a 13-10 game if he makes it. 4:18 is your time remaining in the first half. Taking their time here on this, measuring it out. Vesey also does the punting duties for the team. Here's the snap and the hold. That all looks good, and so does the extra point. So, again, with 4:18 in the second quarter, it's an even closer game with the Pioneers leading Augustana 13-10. We'll be right back after these messages. Anya, take it away.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you, Anya. So Augustine finally gets on the board. It's now 13-10. Here's the kickoff to Keon Miller. Gets it at his 8. Running to his right. Breaks one tackle. Pushes past the 30. There is a flag down. Wow, he went all the way to the 42, and unfortunately it'll be called back if I'm presuming that the call is a hold.
Yeah, it sure looked like it to me, Don.
Yep. Looks like Josh Hill a little shaken up on that for the Pios. Kind of limping there, favoring his right leg, but it seems like he'll be okay. So Miller does a good job breaking a tackle and getting some real estate. You weren't even sure if he was going to get past the 20 there, but did a great job of breaking the tackle. And unfortunately, a holding call in the gate, a nice run back. You and Johnny, call me old school, or I'm kind of conservative about this, but on kickoffs with the propensity to hold being so high and the potential for guys getting hurt so high, it's like I would favor a touchback if I could. I know Miller had to field that at his 8-yard line, so. But so we got Twins left. Single receiver right, Austin Eichstadt. And tailback on Eichstadt's right. I'm trying to get the – that's Jackson Case. Over the middle, they've got Reed Breckheimer. He pushes forward. Tough guy to bring down. He pushes – he got an extra 2 yards out of that nonstop effort. Finally thrown down there by Tim Sweeney.
Breckheimer's a big kid, 245. Yep.
So we got they're calling it second and two here at the 32 of the Pios. Twins right, single receiver left. Case on Rabies right. Going to – he's got a guy. There's Eichstadt at the –
wide open.
Yeah, but he fights forward for 43 yardage – excuse me, to the 45-yard line. First down, Pios.
Moving to chains.
And a different cover guy there on Eichstadt. Darren Oregon. We had a big hit on Eichstadt earlier. Twins left, single receiver right. Breckheimer on the right tight end spot in a wing position here. Case on Raby's left. Raby goes down the middle. He's got a guy. It's Breck. Oh, in his hands.
Sugar.
Should have caught it.
Man, it was right through his hands.
It was right there, and it was another first down. It was going to go past the 40 in Augie territory. And so I think that's where you see the heat coming in. That stops the clock with 3:10 left in the first half. It's 2nd and 10. Breckheimer will go out. Keon Miller will come in for Breckheimer, so they'll have an extra receiver. Now we got Twins right with Muth and Eichstadt on the right, ball on the right hash. Twins left with Miller and Josh Hill. Case on Raby's left. Ball again at the 45 of the Pios here, 2nd and 10. Here's a snap. Raby fakes. He's got a guy right away. That's J.R. Muth for a quick 5 yards. A little button hook from the flanker spot.
Yeah.
Trying to get around and follow some blocking by Eichstadt, but well covered there by Augie. Clock runs now 2:53 in the opening half. The first half. And Carroll looking to add to their lead after giving up the first touchdown. It's 13-10. Trips left, single receiver right, Case. And it's a big 3rd and 5 play here. Case on Raby's right. Raby gets the snap.
Blitz.
He's got a guy. Oh, what a catch.
First down.
That was Austin Eichstadt, I believe. Yep, the big Austin Eichstadt there. And again, Oregon on the coverage. I wonder where they got Nick Harper, if he's out or something. No, he's on the other side of the field. Surprised they don't return Harper back to Eichstadt. So they move the chains. Now they're at the 40-yard line of Augie. 2:10 and counting in the first half here. Twin packages both sides. It's a pass play. He's going deep to Eichstadt. Oh, my God, Eichstadt.
He's going
in. He's in. Touchdown. No. Is he out? Yes. No.
Oh,
out.
No. He should have been in.
He touched the stripe at the 4. He was close to the line there. So what are they calling?
No way, Jose. He said it went out. He dove like Superman. He was flying
in the air. It was a heck of
a
catch.
It was. It was a great catch.
And Raby had to put that over coverage. And, again, taking advantage of his height and agility, Eichstadt reels it in. A little shaken up after the catch. And Oregon was finally able to lasso him down. No, he couldn't. It's just like because he was close enough to the sideline. His foot touched the line, apparently. No instant replay here at Division III. But now it's no receivers right. Twin receivers left. Eichstadt moves to the left. And it's a pistol there. It's going to go to Case, and he's really going nowhere. Augie D was all over that. Started with linebacker David Veyerman, number 6, and a host of some D linemen there for Augie. So
I'm going to give these guys
that
too
at least
much clock.
Take some time off the clock,
right? Clock becomes important
yeah.
here now.
Yeah, especially the way that Augie can move the ball. I think they'd rather. They want to make this the last series of the half and go into the locker room with a 10-point lead if they can help it.
Right.
Twins left. This time, Case on Raby's left. He fakes. He's looking. He's got a guy. Oh, dangerous play. Eichstadt well covered. Really nothing there. And he kind of threw it behind Eichstadt. And
yeah. There
great coverage there. And
Eichstadt
you know,
shook
it's,
it up a little bit there.
It's third down now. I see some big fellas coming in here for Carroll, some big linemen. Big number 62. That's Nick McDonough, 6'2", 360 pounds, a junior from Tampa. And a good time for Carroll to call a timeout here with 1:14 left. A big third and they're calling it third and two. More like third and three. Third and goal, that is.
Just be great if they got the first down and could drag this clock out a little bit more because there's too
much
time.
Yeah, no, it was first and goal, though, so that the only first down's a touchdown here. But, yeah, there's still a lot of time left, and it's third down. So I think if you believe in yourself and getting it in fourth down or getting it in the last play of the half like they did against North Park, I think you run a play to the left. You have Raby roll out left and get tackled in bounds if you can't make it in. If he doesn't have a receiver, roll him out left, and that way if he doesn't have a receiver, just go down in a fourth down. Then you got the ball on the left hash. Raby can roll out right, and he can do a lot more rolling out right as a right-handed QB. So,
well, it sounds like a good plan to me. We'll see what the boss on the other side of the field has to say.
Like I said, I saw a big fella coming in for Carroll that I don't believe he is in the he's in the two deep here. You know, it's the first time we've called his name all season, this Nick McDonough, 360-pound junior. So they might even just try to run this up the gut. Yeah, tight formation, no receiver, so they might split the Jackson Cases in there. They got a double tight end behind the lines here. That's Hancock and so it's going to be a handoff right here.
Nothing
there. So they're going to at least let the clock run. And maybe they are setting up a passing play here, or maybe it'll be a field goal. The good news is that the Piles will get the ball to start the second half, and I think that's why they'll settle for the field goal here.
The rent's coming.
They might even take a penalty here for delay of game or call another timeout.
Yeah, I would.
Just to minimize the time that Augie has. 50 seconds and counting here. And if Laurent makes this, it's a six-point game. But I would certainly take your time here. Snap is high, but the hold is good, and the kick is also good.
Right
so
on,
with 37.2 seconds left, the Pioneers add three more points to their lead, 16-10. But the dangerous Augie offense has 37 seconds to work with. Enough time here maybe to set up a field goal or maybe a Hail Mary. So we're going to keep it here since we're close to halftime. And also a lot of activity we certainly don't want to miss here, Johnny. I think for sure you have Laurent kick it out of the end zone. The last one he kicked was a touchback. I don't think you want to have that dangerous Braden Smith running it back.
No, I don't think so either. He's too slippery.
Yep.
Something could happen there, so.
You sure can. And then I think, too, that real quick, note from Triple G here. Homecoming is the weekend of October 13th and 14th. Come participate in all the tailgate action. Followed by the parade and the football game. Get your chance to get your picture taken with mascot Pio Pete at homecoming on October 13th. And if you're an alumni, you can attend the grand reunion celebration. So that's a really nice series of events there for the Carroll family. And Johnny, even though you and I didn't go there, I'm very proud to be part of the University City of Waukesha that Carroll is very much just a big part of. And Laurent's going to kick it. Not so deep here. He's
going to
field it at the three, and that's Braden Smith. He's cutting it to the outside, but they reel him in, and he gets to about the 21. 22 is the spot.
31 seconds left in the half here.
So
we'll see what the Vikings have in store for.
And I think that's why they wanted to try the run back, to take some time off the clock.
Yeah.
Six seconds is a difference.
Right?
It sure does. That's at least one less play they can run for sure.
Thank you.
So what do you do here? You know they're going to throw deep, and you know Bardwatch can throw it deep. I'd love to see some pressure from that Carroll D, but I also know you don't want to give up big plays. And look at this line. On the left side, they got one receiver behind the other, and then twins right. But it's going to be a handoff up the middle to Revelli. He doesn't go very far. He might have even lost a little bit. No, he gained about a half yard there. But he spun around to break some tackles there and started to make me nervous. But
they're
finally,
the clock run. That's odd.
So I think they're going to take knowing how well that offense has been.
Yeah,
wow, very surprising.
Can't take those timeouts with you, can you, Don?
You know, Johnny, two of the games we've seen, poor clock management here at the end of the half.
It up.
I can't believe the explosiveness of this Augie offense, that they're not going to take a shot at it.
Yeah, well, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, very surprised. So that'll do it. And another big break for the Pio. You know, yeah. Especially in this heat, you figured you would have wanted to try a couple ones long or just.
I thought so.
You know, they hit the guys underneath coverage so well.
They really do.
Yeah.
They're just really uncanny. They make a good 5-10 yards.
They could have gotten to the 35 there and you know, they got all their timeouts, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know what they
And what do they say? You can't bring those timeouts into the locker room with you.
You can't?
So, no, unfortunately. What are you going to do with them, Johnny? You know,
I don't know. You look at them.
And, you know, and I'm a big believer in the first half when you have the timeouts. Like when Augie was moving with that no huddle.
Yeah.
And they had us against the ropes, I would have called timeout, but a guy got hurt, so we got that timeout we needed to slow things down. But you got three timeouts. All you really need is one, because in college, the clock will stop enough on a first down, give your guys enough chance to set up. And you strategically hit your guys near the sidelines so they can get out of bounds. There's a lot of opportunities to stop the clock, but so all you really need is that one timeout in your pocket. But here they had all three with 37 seconds. I would have hit a quick out pattern for 10 yards where no one else can catch it but the receiver. And
not real logical, you know, how they use the clock.
And I get if it was Illinois Wesleyan because they had some deficiencies in their line. But, you know, Augie's line's done a good job protecting. I mean, only one sack in the first half.
Well, I'll tell you, we all know
how they've ran the ball well too.
The Pioneers are, and they're got their hands full here. Okay?
They sure do, and it's a missed opportunity, I think, for because Carroll's going to get the ball, and even if they get just a field goal in this opening drive, you know that's a 2-score lead. You've spotted them when you had a chance that they could have gotten a field goal here, a miracle touchdown. So, but
well, that's true.
We're going to take a one-minute break here at halftime with the Pioneers leading Augustana 16-10 in what's been a really big defensive battle, these two high-scoring offenses. So don't go away. Lots to talk about here when we come back. Anya, take it away.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Packers have struggled on fourth down today.
Thank you, Anya, and welcome back, everyone, to live coverage of the Carroll University Pioneers football game against Augustana College, the Vikings. And the score right now, we're at halftime, is the Pioneers 16 and the Vikings 10. And this has been a little bit back and forth. It's mostly been, of course, a defensive battle with that score.
Sure has, Johnny.
And at the top here, when we talked at pregame, we thought this was going to be a high-scoring thing. Well, it's really been quite the opposite. The defenses on both teams have really shined and got very, very stingy.
Yeah. Well, Johnny, I think, too, the heat has been a factor as well, especially when you're relying on the speed of your receivers, your skilled positions guys, and ball passes have been dropped that normally aren't dropped.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah,
but
saw a few
but
of those.
You're right. There's a great defensive matchup here. Like, we are completing passes and making big plays against good coverage. So Raby's been hit the ball well. Eichstead's made some great catches. Great, you know, again, a great overall team effort. Mikey Coleman was running the ball well to start the half. Haven't seen much of him. And really, the running game, there hasn't been. Augustana's done a good job against our running attack. And I'm surprised they're not running the ball as well as Ravelli and DeJoya run. I know Ravelli was a little shaken up there, and so I'm not sure. Maybe they're using him sparingly, but you know, I'm also fearful, maybe not fearful, but I'm also, if we remember that North Park game where the momentum of the overall game changed from high scoring to defenses kind of took charge, this could happen in the second half if they're able to make adjustments and see some mismatches they want to make. That, you know, this could be ending up being a 35-31 game or a 40-something to, you know, like these teams are used to scoring. But I certainly like the chess match that's going on. I've seen some beautiful play calls there by Augustana and from Coach Buda. And, you know, with Augustana, it's about creating mismatches. And with which they've done well, like the one touchdown they had, that speedy Jordan Vasey was covered by Damon Loker, the tight end, or excuse me, the linebacker. And that's, Loker's fast in his own right, but that's not necessarily the matchup you want against a speedy receiver. You'd rather see a linebacker chasing down the tight end or maybe a running back in the flat.
Well, you sure would. But, yeah. You know, that's well-designed
play calling on the
Vikings part. So.
I was going to say, but what Coach Buda's having is he's getting his guys in space and his prime receivers, and he's showing a lot of faith in the quarterback and the receiver, and they're threading the needle, him and Eichstead. Yeah, and Eichstead, yeah. You know, we thought he had a touchdown there. I guess he touched the line at the 2 or 3, so they had to settle for 3. That was a tough break. And, you know, it is too bad they don't have instant replay. That's a pretty expensive technology to have for D3. But, he did a great job. You know, not only made an excellent catch. He skied into the air to get that.
Yeah.
He went up where Mama hides the cookies. He came down, and then he eludes a tackle. And then tight ropes the line. It's just a beautiful play, and then finds his way in. But unfortunately, the refs, they saw the toe touch some white stripe there and made the call. And, you got to recognize Augustana should have put it in on that second drive, and the quarterback slips on the snap. Something happened there where he lost his footing. And
that was such a close call on that one. You know, to me, I thought it was
I thought he got the ball off in time.
I thought he did, too, but – the ref is right there.
He's right there.
You know, and
this is a home field.
Just like Breckheimer, he looked like he was in, and they didn't give it to him, too. So, you know, we're up here, and we're, 50 yards away from the sideline, and, they're right down there. So I guess you gotta trust them. So.
They sure are, yeah. So and it's
anyway, in this heat, it's just –
yeah, we're starting to feel it now in our air-conditioned room. And
well, can you imagine all those kids are down on the field? Yeah. It's just – it's unbelievable, folks, how hot this really is on a late September day here in Rock Island, Illinois. So it's really a scorcher down here, and it's really impacting, I think, some of the play.
Yeah, I mean, it's September 30th, and it feels like July 15th.
We haven't seen any leg cramps yet, so they must be hitting the pickle juice today.
Yep, they sure are.
So what do you think we're going to see more of in the second half, Don?
You know, I'm gonna guess if I'm Augustana, I'm gonna run the ball more. I like they're gonna continue with their hurry up offense, but they're gonna pound that Carroll defense. I think with some running, they got two solid running backs that move bodies.
Yeah,
and if I'm Carroll, just keep doing what you're doing and catching the ball. Maybe create some more opportunities for the running game, or maybe some different looks.
Right. I would like to see a little bit more of an established run game, but maybe it's just there's something going on there that Buda doesn't.
I'd also like to see Raby run the ball. Like, he scored that touchdown rolling out. Like, get him and roll him out, right?
I think he's got some opportunities where he makes one or two reads, and if he doesn't see it, he takes off.
That coverage is so strong by Augie.
They are.
Let's get the Axeman out there and get him in space and force these guys to
So I would like to see a little bit more of that, too, because there's every once in a while you can see. I mean, we got a great vantage point up here.
Yeah.
But really, when he gets his 1-2 reads done, his third guy's not open, he's throwing the ball away a couple of times. So, if he just spins and takes off and goes the other way, he gets 5 yards.
Yeah. So we'll be starting out, I believe, we'll be heading to the east end zone. And whoever gets the kickoff, I'm sure it'll be Keon Miller. I'd have him run to our side of the field, so we start the ball on the left hash, and that way Raby can roll out right, or at least create some situations if you're designing 3 or 4 plays at a time.
Yeah,
get him so he can roll out to the right, and he can either pass as a right-handed quarterback, or just take off and run.
Sure,
and then force those guys to force their D-backs to be a little more honest.
You know, the other
thing, put more pressure on them, I should say.
We're going to see from Augustana is the Vikings have been doing a really good job with these short widescreen passes, okay?
Yeah.
So they're doing like these little 5-yard deals, 8 yards, and getting some first down, sometimes a little bigger gain. Those are very successful, high percentage catches.
Yeah.
And the defense just has not found a way to attack that yet. And and it's really hard to attack that because once you go after them, if you miss one dude, it's 6 points.
And here's here's where I need some crow, Johnny, is because I watched the Augustana game against Wheaton, and one of my critiques of Cole Bardwaj was that was his accuracy, especially on these long balls. But in the second quarter, he proved me wrong. You know, he hit Vasey under.
Yeah.
You know, hit a perfect pass to Vasey.
There was incredible.
The other one, great job by, I think that was Amarion Bridges who broke that up. That should have been a touchdown, too, but if not for a great play by Bridges. And what is exciting is we've just seen some great play from the secondary on both sides, making some really athletic plays to break up what should have been big gains or even touchdowns.
Yeah.
And it kind of surprises me again. They took Nick Harper off of Austin Eich's dad because I thought that was a great matchup.
Yeah, God, he's a great D-back, man. He's really fast and really knows his space.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they move him back over, you know, going with wherever Eich's dad's going. And I think they want, you know, Josh Hill had missed a pass, and there was one that was wide. I think they need to get him in the game more. He did catch one underneath, and it'd be great to get utilize Hill some more and J.R. Muth.
Right. So
tight ends, too, you know, like Trevor Hancock. I don't know if they've thrown to him yet. Breckheimer had a nice little gainer up the middle, but I think we just got to distribute the ball well and be okay with 5 and 6 yard gains and keep the clock rolling in a low scoring game. The key here is how well the offense controls the clock. And in spite of the no huddle offense, Augie's eating some good time off the clock. And in this heat, that can make a good offense, an explosive offense, very flat.
Right. And the other thing we haven't seen, and this is a tight game, okay, is no turnovers on either team.
Yep.
So one guy blanks and makes a mistake, that could change
the
whole mojo. Yep. You know, like Jim Morrison said, mojo is going to rise, and that changes, man, especially if you get a turnover and you're successful with that. It just changes the whole dynamic.
Sure. That's it. Yep, point taken there as we watch Jacob Laurent practicing some kicks. And, you know, they're figuring they want to keep him fresh if they need him late in the game. But, you know, the other thing, too, is it seems like the red zone can be the kiss of death for these offenses because they haven't been able to score from there.
Yeah, they're just not getting in like we thought they were going to.
When Carroll got its only touchdown again, it was Josh Raby running out of options and seeing the space. And even he eluded a tackle to get in. Great play. And so – again, real credit here. Johnny and I, in spite of the weather, are in a lap of luxury in an indoor box here. We forgot we have to mimic the crowd noise. We got a cappella some crowd noise here.
Right.
So you'll see more of that in the second half. So you feel like you're really part of the experience. You know, when we're at Carroll, you got that open box there that they keep the doors open so you can hear and you're close enough to the crowd noise. Here, it's a brick building it's connected to the bleachers, but if you're looking at it from the Carroll stands, it feels like it's across the street from the bleachers, like it's a separate building. But it's great. They've got suites for alumni or some of their big donors that they can reserve. They've got dedicated press boxes for the different media outlets. They've got a main room, a central command, kind of like in Star Trek, you know. And, you know, Captain Star Kirk's Trek, in there. Huh? Yeah, well, they got a whole crew in there. But they also
on the left and the right.
I think even the announcer, the guy that's doing the PA, he's got his own little room just like ours on the other side of the box here. So we're being treated really well. We're right there at the 45 yard line, and I'm still waiting for somebody to drop off a bill, you know,
whatever,
for the space. This is prime.
You know, from up here we can see where the tailgaters are.
Yeah,
and they're just such great, great people over there.
Oh yeah,
we've had such a pleasure to meet some new friends over there.
I wonder if they let them sneak back and get a couple
T-shirts,
couple cocktails. Yeah,
yeah, maybe. Well, maybe it's a long drive back.
Here's another thing about this facility: is the visiting facility, the visiting bleachers. There's a locker room underneath. There's a tunnel coming out. Like, this is what a lot of other college or
Division two
or like good high school home. It's a really nice setup. We've got it. We've got press boxes over there. Initially, we were setting up over there, but they had better accommodations for us here. So we're missing those alumni, but there's a beautiful row of trees behind the visiting bleachers. There's a beautiful view of I think it looks like a main building, like alumni building with this like domed, like kind of a chapel look. It just looks like a really pretty town. And
yeah, it's beautiful.
You're starting to see more leaves change color even since the beginning of the game. I think they're getting
really
the flavor
done
of the season. Hey, why not? Well, at least I think with the sun shining brighter.
Oh, yeah, so it's a shadow effect.
Could be, but there's definitely, yeah, we're starting to see some colors.
Are changing while we're
it's my favorite
game
time of year. Okay. It's football season. It's, yeah. Normally this would be a crisp, cool day in the 50s, you know, but this is like 80 or something. And again, we should have brought an inflatable baby pool. We had enough space. If we'd known, we could have we could be watching this game at poolside here.
Well, so, we got about 5 minutes before we come.
Yeah, Augie comes out. We're waiting for Carroll to come out, a few players out. So I think now would be a good time to take a break here in the Pioneer Football Radio Network as we wait for the second half to begin. Pioneers are ahead of Carroll, the Vikings of Carroll, or excuse me, Augustana. The Pioneers of Carroll are ahead of the Vikings of Augustana, 16-10. We'll be back after these messages here on WOUK. Anya, take it away, please.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith, if you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Welcome back to the action. These are your hosts, Don and John.
Thank you, Anya, and welcome back to Charles D. Lindbergh Stadium at Augustana College, home of the Vikings, here in the Quad Cities, Rock Island, Illinois. And when we were at our hotel last night, we stayed at the same hotel as the team. It's right on the Mississippi River, and when I looked out the window this morning across from the river, about, I don't know, maybe a quarter mile up the road, no longer than that, I'm sorry, but it was that we saw the hotel and casino in Bettendorf where my family, we stayed last summer. We had a softball tournament out there in Bettendorf, and we had a lot of fun out there. And so nice part of the country, you know, especially in the fall here, a lot of trees. And, again, a great, great environment for college football. We're here again in this luxury press box. John, as Johnny Watermelon rejoins us, Carroll has finally come out to the field with 3 minutes left before the second half kickoff. And again, Carroll will receive to start the second half, leading 16-10, which is why they settled for the field goal there at the 2-yard line towards the end of the half. And again, John, I'm still in shock, and I guess I shouldn't be, because we've seen this a lot, where these teams aren't going for it with enough time in the second half to try to set up a score here.
Yeah, well, who knows what goes on in the side of the coaches' minds. I mean, you called it pretty close there, and you know, that thing with what Augustana did at the end of the half here, I don't really
follow
that.
They ran it up the middle, yeah, to Ravelli. You know, and again,
it's not what I would have done.
You don't want to risk a fumble or an interception, but you could have fumbled it on a play, on a run up the middle, you know?
I don't know. You had that time left, and like you said, you can't take those timeouts with you. You know, you got to use them. And in this tight game, you think you'd go for broke.
You're 2-1. You have to be thinking playoffs, and you figure if nothing else, right, this is good practice for your offense to run a. There's 2-minute drills, but then there's 30-second drills.
Yeah. So you know they got it. They're chasing each other.
Yeah.
You know, if the Pios, we hope they come out successful here. That puts these guys in a bad spot. You know, they're trying to stay with them here in the conference.
Right.
So I would have used that 37 seconds a little bit different.
I would have too. And I would, again, having enough, you know, faith in your offense.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if they had any turn. There was no turnovers. There was a blocked punt, but there was no, there was a turnover on downs by the Pioneers, but that was it. There haven't been, you know, maybe a couple close calls, but, and it's a great defensive bet, you know, that's right, for sure. And I guess, you know, that's it. If you have faith in your defense and you figure if you can make some adjustments at halftime, that maybe you got to feel good, pretty good about your Augie Dogs coming out of the locker room. Who knows? Maybe they'll try an onside kick or maybe they'll just they'll pin their ears back and put some pressure on the Pioneers and force a 3-and-out.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Pios season record right now is 3-0, and if they win this one, it's 4-0. Kind of changes that whole dynamic. We just touched on that a little bit. So,
sure.
You know, when they began, it's the first time in 9 years that they've had that kind of a jump start on everybody. And, you know, you got to go all the way back to 2014 for that. And then, you know, they won seven games in a row.
Yeah.
Hats off to the Pioneers, man. They're playing some good ball. They're well coached. These athletes are ready. And we're just going to have some fun during this second half. And
it's like we said, Johnny, this is their acid test, you know, like for their first real test of the season, playing, one of the great contenders, one of the fabled programs in D3 college ball with Augustana. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it's
I don't think these guys are even remotely out of it. This Augustana team is tough.
No, they're not yet. I would not count them out. Trailing 16-10, and
these guys can make that up in one play. You know,
and that's your straight answer for why they didn't do anything down the half. You have confidence in your defense and your offense, and maybe they're gonna do some different things. But we're ready to kick off now. Sydney Maroon and Keon Miller back to receive for the Pios, standing at about his going now towards midfield, the 10-yard line there in the middle of the field. And, I guess all our questions will be answered here in just a few seconds. Again, the home team Vikings of Augustana in all navy blue, yellow fonts, yellow helmets with the curse of Augie. Pio's in all white with orange stripes.
Fumbled, muffed it.
Drops him off. He picks it up. He's at the 20.
He got it around the corner.
He's got some real estate. He's at the 40 already. 40, 50-yard line before being pushed out. So he muffs the punt and the kickoff. He was able to pick it up because it was right in front of him. And I think when that happened, there is a flag. Yep, as to be expected. But that causes a panic, I think, when people see a ball drop on both sides. But, boy, there was some great blocking there. It looked the hold, I think, came from a different spot.
That flag came out.
But
it was
Miller did a great job of getting outside. I think there will be some very stern discussions for Augie when they look at film about how they lacked the outside contain there on that.
Boy, that would have been a great way to start this second half off.
You know, there was one job I had, Johnny, because I wasn't very big and I had a neck injury, so my playing time was limited. But on kickoffs, my job was outside contain, and the key was that nobody got around me on that. That's all I had to do. I didn't have to make the tackle. I just had to keep.
Really?
You had to keep the guy.
Yeah.
But that's how you got. That's how you made the play. Is you contain him, and just like you do in regular line of scrimmage, that you don't let an O lineman seal you in. So we got Twins right single receiver left ball in the left hash, ball at 10. It's a handout to Mikey Coleman. He gets outside.
Oh, come on!
Stumbles, but stays on his feet. He's still running. Finally knocked out at like the 25-yard line.
12-yard gain.
That was a big gain for Coleman, and that's how they started the first half on their opening drive.
Yes, sir.
The chains move.
There's that rattling sound I like.
Ball at the 26 of the Pios. Ball in the right hash. Twins left, single receiver right. That's Josh Hill. Coleman on Raby's right. And it's Coleman again up the middle this time, and he pushes forward for some more good yardage. That's about a 5 or 6 yard variety.
Get a little chip down there.
Little extracurricular activity after the play. Reed Bruckheimer, and that's at number 92 again. Cole Romano has really gotten away with a lot of shiesta poopy.
Yeah, I think he's got a little.
As you Germans like to say up there in Wisco.
Shiesta poopy. Huh?
Shiesta poopy.
Oh, boy.
I had a football coach who came
We call it something different.
He came from Dunkirk High School, which is a big German
Milwaukee
community.
Waukesha.
Twins left, single receiver right. Second and four. Ball at the 26. It's Coleman again. Stutter steps, pushes forward, really nowhere to go. They're going to give him a yard on that. So ball now at the 33-yard line, and that should make it third and three. Clock winds 13:33 in the third quarter. Pioneers leading the Vikings 16-10, and need to convert here, Johnny.
Yeah, they really do. Keep this drive alive.
Trips left, single receiver right. Ball in the right hash here. Coleman on Raby's left. That's Reed Bruckheimer lined up in a left wing here from the tight end spot. There's a snap. He's going to his right there. Nowhere to go. Well covered there by Oregon on Josh Hill. So for the first time today, Noah Streveler and the punting unit will come out for the Pioneers. You know, and really, boy, they ran the ball well, maybe one too many times there.
Yep.
And just couldn't connect there in third down. So there's that dangerous number three, Braden Smith, at his 34-yard line there, waiting for the punt. The snap. Streveler gets it. Some pressure. He gets it off. A boot. Fielded at the 30. Smith eludes one group of tacklers. Now he's at the 40. The 45. He's got some space. He's at the 44. Oh, boy. He gets knocked down big time. I think that was Streveler on that hit, too. Boy, he got patty caked.
Flipped him right in the air.
He did. Yeah. He did. Yeah.
It was like a
hit on John Elway in that Packers Super Bowl.
Yeah, it really was.
But what a Smith run happy back, to though. Take the hit. He gets it all the way to the Pio 39. Yeah. And here comes Cole Bardwaj and company. Does Coach Pfeffer and his defense have an answer for them? Ball will be at the left hash. 12:54 in the third quarter. Single receivers both sides. Ravelli on the left. He's got the handoff going right. He meets a bunch of pile, but still pushes forward for some good yardage. Probably about 5-6 there. Kind of cut it in at the right time to elude some pressure.
Got to hurry up.
Like Will Campbell's. Yep, hurry up. They line up again. 12:37. They're calling it second and five. Single receivers both sides. Ravelli on
good behind the line effort there.
Great tackle there. Loss of yardage there.
Yep.
And we got to give some credit here. Who's that's big number 97, my man. I think that's Nick Montas. Yep.
That's Nick.
A little help there. And Campbell is in on that too. Damon Loker, number 46. And Anya has informed me that shyster poopy is an FCC banned word.
Is it really?
I think. Well, she said S-H-I-E and then a line, so I think that's what she meant. But we have Twins left, single receiver right here on a big third and four play. So that was called no gain. Thought it would have been a loss, but it's a pass. He gets hit. It is out!
It's almost picked off. That would have been six.
Wow. Elliot Miller had a pick six. He dropped it, but credit for the big stop. They may go for a field goal, or it looks like there's a punting unit coming in or something. A
little excited.
Boy, there was nobody there to stop
there
him.
There was not. It was a six-pointer there.
But a credit for him for sniffing that out. Yeah. It was like a play action. I thought it was going to go to Ravelli with short yardage up the middle. And then Bardwaj pulled it out, and under pressure he threw it. And maybe that's why he didn't see the backer, because there was a big lineman. I think that was Montas again in his face. So they're going to punt. Sidney Maroon out. It looks like that's Kian Miller back. Or no, it's the young Sammy Muth. They're going to pooch it. Muth calling for it. No, he's going to let it go, and it's going to bounce beautifully.
Oh, my God, what a beautiful
bounce.
And
it stopped at this. Thank God they didn't get it near the one where it hit. No, they're calling it a touchback now.
Oh, my God, the refs.
It hit the stripe. Another big break for the Pios. Beautiful punt. So they're right there in the field, so they see it better than us, Johnny, thankfully.
We're 50 yards
away. We've really got
that,
some big breaks today.
Oh, we sure did. I thought that
beautiful punt by Maroon.
Yeah, it bounced just right back.
And credit to Sammy Muth for running away. He had the fair cut signal up. He was surrounded by Vikings. He said, I'm getting out of here.
Well, good punt, so, and got a break there.
Because, if he catches it, he's catching it at the one.
Yep.
So, Raby and company get the ball back at the 20-yard line.
Come on, Piles.
And Twins right, single receiver left. That's Austin Eichstad. And the ball is on the right hash. Jackson Case in the game now on Raby's left. Time remaining is 11:28 in the third quarter, a 16-2 Pio lead. And looks like the clock stops for a moment here with 11:28. Refs are having a chat. There's a flag on the field now. And I guess they missed something. That had to happen on the punt because it's far, far, far from the line. It's probably where the ball.
Looks like it's another benefit to the Pios.
I don't know what.
It's like a 15-yard
flag.
Wow,
yeah.
It didn't like something that was said or done down there.
Yeah, there might have been some language there.
Yeah, might have been. Well, these two teams aren't exactly in love with each other.
Yep. So we've seen quite a few personal fouls, at least three that I can count, two from the Pios, mm-hmm. and yep, they got to clean that up. You hate to lose a game because someone lost their cool. And, in Augie's defense, they've had some tough breaks. You know, that ball should have been at the five there, and they were robbed of a touchdown on an apparent stumble. quarterbacks
rather be needed. Lucky than good.
Yep. Twins right, single receiver left. Case on Raby's right. Hancock there in a wing. They go to Case up the middle, off tackle, and he gets a good little 5-yard gain. Good blocking there. And they had kind of Trevor Hancock, number 40, leading the way on that, or setting up some space there for Case. He might have even cut in on the tackle to help with that. So it's second and four, actually. A 6-yard gain, 11 minutes and counting here. Ball at the 41 of the Pios here. Twins left, single receiver right. Raby's looking deep. He's got Eichstad.
Intercepted.
And it's, incomplete. It was almost intercepted. Wasn't deep enough.
Man, that was a dangerous throw, dude.
Raby was throwing closer to the middle, and I think Eichstad took his flag pattern or his post pattern a little too long, a little too deep and wide. But hey, just as I said, Johnny, that was my man, Nick Harper, on that coverage. Almost had an interception there, so it was almost a nice punt there. But now we got, again, a third and four situation here, third and short for the Piles. Can they convert? Clock stops at 10:50 remaining. Twin packages both sides. Case on Raby's left. Raby right away. Oh.
Rifles one right
in
his hands.
And that was Hill. Couldn't bring it down. And it was high and it was fast. And that's not. And I think, again, Augie studied their film because they're anticipating those short passes. I think
got to catch them, Don.
You do. I agree. But
I think a fast pass. But you know,
I think you
can
take something off of that, too, if you're Raby.
No. You throw that with some authority. That was That pass was right. You got to catch that.
Strebler, Smith back to receive at the 26. Strebler will punt. Some pressure, but Strebler gets it off. Another beautiful kick. Wow. Oh, it's a different. That's going to roll it. Oh, it's going to die. There it is.
Nice.
The 1-yard line.
Right on the 1-yard line.
Beautifully.
Got another break for the Pios.
Bobby and Sarah was back to get that. That sailed way over his head, and what a shot by Strebler.
Yeah, just
Coach Ackerman came out to body slam or gave him a body bump, whatever they call that when they jump up in the air. But what a boot. So yeah. Strebler had probably a touchdown-saving tackle on the return by Braden Smith, and maybe that's why Smith wasn't returning that. He got patty-caked, and then, wow. So big. This is the best field position the Pioneers have had all day.
Yeah, it doesn't
get better than the 1-yard line. Of course, they got to be careful. And I'd send the whole house here.
I would too. So.
On the first year starter, it's going to go to Ravelli up the middle, and he pushes not much there, but he gets about two or three. The ball will be at the 4. So yeah, they'll probably call it a 3-yard gain. 10:22 remaining and counting. Excuse me, in the third quarter, it remains a 16-10. After both teams have exchanged possessions both times.
Big series here. If they stop them here, we'll get great field position.
And you see a ton of these Vikings huddled around the tents in the water, staying cool. Some of them have come out now to cheer on. 10:01 counting. They're calling it second and 7 here. Ball at about the 4. Single receivers both sides. Ravelli on. It's going to go to Ravelli again. And the Pioneers are there to meet him. So they're playing it smart here. That's another 2 or 3 yard gain. So that sets up a manageable 3rd and 4. And I wouldn't be surprised if they call 34's number again. As we see Bobby and Sarah come back out for Augie.
Maybe another
and
one.
And number two, Jordan Vesey, who caught the touchdown. So maybe you got a Twins right here now. No receivers left. Ravelli remains in the game. He's on. Boardwage is right, Cole Boardwage. And so you may go long here, a long pass maybe to Vesey, covered by Ja'Kai Bohannon. Now Ravelli moves to his left here. Could go to Ravelli. No, they're going right over the middle. Almost picked up. Boy, what a hit.
Oh.
Wow.
I thought he was going to intercept it, Don, the way he broke on that ball.
He broke a Jim Clem on that. Beautiful. But certainly left a nice message there for the flanker. And I think that was number 9, Bobby and Sarah, who felt that.
That was a demoralizing
it
effort.
Sure was.
You know, that's a little motivational thing.
Yep.
You know,
Sammy Muth stands at the 50-yard line. Different punter in for we got to find him on the roster here. Jordan Clem. So he must be your guy that is your long ball specialist here. And Piles look like they're sending the house on this. High snap. Punt almost blocked. Wow. Good pressure there. And they're going to let it roll, and it's going to take a friendly Viking bounce all the way to the 42, but we'll gladly take it there. And,
that's still good field position.
We got to get the number on that young man who almost blocked that.
Yeah, it was very close.
I want to say from our defense, looked like it was Caleb Lowney putting the pressure on there. And I know we've called Lowney's number before in special teams, and I think he's even come in the D-back spot where he plays. 8:54 is your time remaining in the third quarter. Pios get the ball again. Sorry, Johnny.
You just feel the mojo rising a little bit.
You do.
And shifting.
Yeah.
You know?
So trips left, single receiver right for Raby. Jackson Case in. Ball at the 40. 8:54 is your time. They fake to Case. He's looking left. Under heavy pressure. He's going to get sacked there.
Except for that play.
Yeah. Well, and those are some big stalwarts there. Chase Tatum. And number 50, Owen Keeney. We knew we'd be hearing from them again, and a great – they dialed that up beautifully. So now you got a long second and 18. Ball's all the way back at the 33 of the Pios here. So single receivers both sides. Looks like a double tight end situation there on the right. Case on Raby's right. Raby pauses for a second, gets another call from the sideline. Here it is. Going to go to Case here, going to the outside. Not much room for Case. He might have gotten a yard or two out of that. Ran into a big,
very stingy
Augie Wall there on the left side. And that was our man number 50 again, Owen Keeney. A prayer for Owen Keeney for any of you John Irving fans out there.
Yeah.
So third and long here, and you got to go deep. You got to look Eichstad or
you do
Josh Hill and just go it where only he can get it. Hill's lined up alone, both single receivers. Hill on the left, Eichstad on the right, Case on Raby's right. I think they're going long right to Eichstad, or it might be a flag pattern. Let's see. Snap. Raby's going deep. He's got Raby. It's good. Eichstad.
They gave it to him. First down.
First down to the 38. A great catch. Wow, I can't believe they left him wide open.
They did. They played way off of him. That was very odd.
It sure was.
Moving the chains.
Moving the chains is right.
Wow, what a play.
Yep. Hey, and while they're setting up, let's take a quick moment for station identification. Anya, take it away.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Thanks, Anya. And after a huge third and 18 conversion, yep, you guessed it, Raby Eichstad all the way to the 40. Jackson Case took the first down on the 1-2 hole on the right-hand side for an 8-yard gain. Second and two, 6:34 and counting in the third quarter. Ball at the 31 of the Aggies. Case again, he's going to push forward. He's close to a first down.
It's very close.
They mark him short. I don't think that's a very friendly spot, but maybe I'm looking at the wrong ref. He's really close to that. They're marking it as a loss. Oh, no, wait. That's where the ball is. Okay.
They marked it as a loss.
No, it's just a short. It's third and one here. So you got a one-yard gain on that. So they're in the shotgun. Almost a pistol there with Casey behind Raby. Trevor Hancock lined up in the left wing. Twins left. No receivers right. Actually, no. Hancock's on the right. Reed Brackheimer is the wing on the left. So... here it is. It's a handoff to Case this time. He's going to get
first
in.
First time.
He dives through, and good blocking up front there. Justin Rupp now creating a nice little hole.
Like seeing
for
that
Case
blocking.
Dive through there. And big shout out to Eric and Larissa, his parents. It was a shorter drive for them than usual this week coming from Iowa.
Offensive line doing their job up there on this drive.
They sure are. Yeah, they're coming from Nemaha, Iowa. Sack County. Namaha. So ball at the 26, first and 10, single receivers. It's Case again up the middle. He's going to push forward for about 2 yards, maybe a little more, before finally slam back. And if nothing else, they're wearing out this Augie defense here. That should make it second and eight. Clock winding, 5:02 in the first quarter. Carroll looking to add to a 16-10 lead as J.R. Muth comes in for Reed Breckheimer. So they're going to go to more receivers here, one tight end. And Mikey Coleman in the game now. Twins left, single receiver right. Ball in the right hash. Coleman on Raby's left. And I could see it going to Coleman again here. Here it is. Nope, he's back to pass. Rolls out to his right. He's going. He's got a guy, and it's almost intercepted. Wow. They're going for Coleman there. And you guessed it. Nick Harper got a leg on that, or an arm on that. And Owen Keeney, coming all the way from the linebacker spot, dove for it, almost got a pick. So, big break. Dangerous pass there for Raby. There was great coverage there.
There was.
I think in those situations, you send someone all the way to the end zone, you throw it deep here. So, now Keon Miller comes to the game as Trevor Hancock comes out. So, now I think we don't have any tight ends here. It's 3rd and 8. Clock stops with 4:24 on the incomplete pass. Twin packages both sides, ball in the right hash. Coleman on Raby's left. Here's the snap. Raby, look, he's got Eichstead. Nope, he's going to go over the middle. He's got another guy well covered. Wow. They're going for J.R. Muth. And there was some great coverage by Nick Harper.
It really was. I didn't see where.
And Owen Keeney again either. I thought they were going to go for Eichstead, but
yeah,
I think that was the play. Eichstead was the decoy, and they had J.R. Muth covered over the middle there. Muth coming from the left side.
Here comes Laurent for a long kick.
Yep, this will be a 35-yarder from the line of scrimmage. Yep, 42 from the hold. 4:19 remaining. Snap, hold. Kick is, I don't think it's long enough. No, it's short. I think they got a hand on that. Big play for the Augie defense. Yep, someone got a hand on that because Lauren can usually make those unless he, like, just kicked it too low on – got too low under the ball.
You know, they make a score on that drive, and that really demoralizes the Vikings. But now the mojo changes back again.
It sure does. You know, even if it's just 3 points there, if they get that three, it's a two-score lead.
It does, and it puts pressure.
Tell you what, though, I think this Pio defense is they got their ears strapped back, and that was a good drive by the Pio offense. They managed to move the ball down the field here. We got twin packages both sides. DeJoya in the game. He's going to get it. No, they fake it. It's a keeper, Bardwaj. He breaks a few tackles and probably gets a nifty five there. Looked like he could have been stopped for one or two.
Yeah.
But then he finds the space he needs.
Well, I'm really counting on this defense to do their thing here. They've been very good all day, but one score changes the whole dynamic.
2nd and 5, ball at the 28. Trips right, single receiver left. DeJoya on Bardwaj is right. 3:46 and counting. Again, ball at the 29 of Augie. And it's a quick pass out into the flat to Braden Smith. He breaks one tackle. Good blocking as he gets all the way to the 45 and a first down. So finally, Marion Bridges and A.J. Moore and Evan Holm on the tackle there. So now it's 1st and 10, Augie. Ball is marked at the 45 of the Vikings. Twins right, twins left, single receiver right, ball in the right hash. DeJoya on Cole Bardwaj's right.
They've been making that
play
all day.
Now he moves to the left. 3:09 is your time remaining in the third quarter here. Fakes the handoff. It's a quick screen.
On the other side.
Out to Insera this time, and he gets about 6 or 7.
It's the same play.
It sure was over to the left side, and there's more space to work with, too. But credit to some blocking by Nolan Hewlett, creating some more space there for Insera. So now you got another 2nd and 4 situation here. Ball at the 49 of the Pios as they get into Pio territory. Twins right, single receiver left. DeJoya on Bardwaj's right. 2:32 and counting. And here's a little blitz coming for Bardwaj. Too much time. He's got a guy, but no, well covered there. A.J. Moore.
Threw it away.
So, and then some pressure came in. Elios Martinez applied some pressure. They sent Will Campbell in for the blitz.
Yeah.
That was picked up well, but I think it did force Bardwaj to throw it away.
I think it did, too. Yeah, it caused some pressure.
And I think that's what needs to happen is they're giving Bardwaj a lot of time. And
you got that right, boss.
I was questioning his accuracy in the first game and even in the first quarter, the last game. But I think you just got to put pressure on him. He almost threw a pick six in a previous series this half.
And then knock him around a little.
Yep. This clock stops with 2:23 here. We got a big third and four play here. Really tight formations, both sides. A tight trips right, single receiver left. And here it is. Here's the pressure on Bardwaj. He